guys would fall in love after having sex with me. I come a lot. Ooh, 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 ooh. So I would say 30 seconds.
You're 42? It's related to vaginal orgasms? Do you believe in monogamy?
Have multiple orgasms, pass out, you know, like things could happen. You cannot breathe anymore. You just high. You're like, oh my God, who am I? I had to call the doctor twice in Germany because it got a little bit too far. How would it be to have a threesome?
What about swinging?
Leave your country, leave your comfort zone, leave that boyfriend you're not happy with. Be married to a guy and not be happy. And are you just enjoying the moment with that person?
Hi everyone, welcome to the O Collective Just Like You podcast. We are Diana, Wingsy, Simona, and Eden, and we're all about intimate wellness and pleasure. In this podcast, we share insights from modern third culture kids on relationships, sex, and intimacy to help you navigate your way through your intimate life. Today, we have the honor to talk to Nili. Nili was born in Afghanistan and has now lived in Pakistan, Germany, US, and now Japan. She grew up in a religious household where the common belief is that a girl should be a virgin until she gets married. Nili has broken away from that old school belief and refuses to stay silent about anything that brings her joy and laughter.
Nili, also the squirt queen, but more on that later, loves meditation, trips into the nature, but also an occasional drunk night that might result in finding the love of her night.
What are you doing to celebrate today?
I'm going to the hormone doctor. Getting my hormones checked out because that's what you do apparently when you're old.
You're turning 34, right?
Oh my God, don't say it. Don't say it out loud. This is what Edgar made for me for my birthday.
Oh, gigantic. Like
and a little, I don't know, pie? Pie.
That's cute. Yum. Mm. That's sweet of him. Mm. Even after 7 years, Simona.
10 years! 11! 4!
Also just means that he's true love.
Also means that he's very patient.
Yeah, man. Who can put up with your shit every day? No, I'm kidding.
I could not. I would have left at 3 months and like, bye, bitch, this girl's crazy. No. No, that's what my parents said as well. They said, listen, you should really appreciate this guy because honestly, your personality is hard.
I think it's hard about me too.
Really? Apparently we're bitches, you know, we're bitches.
No, my mom did call me a bitch.
Oh, your mom did? Yeah. My parents, I think they also think I'm a bitch as well, but they didn't call me that. They just said, you have a complicated personality.
That's
to
nice.
To find somebody who can handle your personality is already pretty unique. So cherish this guy. That's what they said.
Your parents are kind. You know what my mom just said? My mom used this in Chinese. She's like, 你很贱. You know what 贱 means? She called me a bitch.
No, but then the same. Because on Cantonese, they say, 你像西上. I think 上 is the same as 贱.
Oh.
It's like a cat, right? Catty behavior. Cat.
Ish.
There you go. Two crazy bitches here. Yeah. Sound vibrant. Who would have thought
we'd be in a long-term relationship? Who would have thought people would want to date us?
I did it. True.
Hey, no. You.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
It's working.
Yay. Nice to meet you girls.
You're in Tokyo right now?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how would you describe yourself in one word?
I would describe myself is loyal in one word because I think I'm loyal to myself, first of all, my body and the people I know.
And then also as an icebreaker, can you tell us when you experienced your first orgasm and how that felt for you?
My first orgasm was when I was 24 because that was the first time that was the age I had actually sex. And it was great because I had no idea. People were always talking about this thing, this mystical, like I had clitoris orgasm, obviously, because you touch yourself, right? But I never had the penetration orgasm. So when it happened and a little bit of like fluid things came out of me, I thought I'm peeing. I was shocked. But afterwards, I felt a little bit high. So I was like, oh my God, what's happening? I was laughing all the time. Like, oh, what is this? This felt good. And my boyfriend back then said, well, I think you just had your penetration orgasm. So that was the first time. I was 24. Very late, but you know, it was good.
Wow. So your first penetrated vaginal orgasm, you also scored it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Which was, I had no idea, right? Back then, I'm 42 now. So it was like, 20 years ago. Back then, I mean, now I feel like young girls are pretty much educated about orgasms or what could happen when you have an orgasm. But back then, I had no idea, and not watching any porn or, you know. So I actually thought I'm peeing. So I thought I have a problem.
but later, one thing, did you just say you're 42?
Yes.
You look 26. What? If you would have told me I'm 26, I would have believed you. What? Okay, all right. Is this related to vaginal orgasms?
I think sex keeps you young. I mean, that's proven, right?
Because well, apparently this is like we're talking to the proof here, right here.
No, but I think it's also my genes. I mean, you know, but yeah, of course. I mean, if you have sex, if you have you know, this happy hormones, it's good for your skin, it's good for your like your heart and for your blood circulation. And there's a lot, like there are a lot of things that could positive yeah. happen to you when you have sex. It's not even, I don't think it's just orgasm. I think it's sex in general, the pleasure.
Yeah. Definitely. There are like oxytocins, there are serotonins, endorphins. There are so many different chemical releases into your body when you have sex or you masturbate or when you have an orgasm. So I definitely see the result here right in front of me.
Thank you.
You just now have shared all this benefit of what you've gotten from sex, but also knowing that you came from a pretty religious and conservative background. So your upbringing as an Afghan woman who's religious and also a German, US, Japanese citizen, how has that shaped your idea when it comes to intimacy, sex, and relationships?
Well, you know, when I was younger, meaning like before I had sex, younger than 24, my parents told me that I'm not supposed to have sex before I get married. And, you know, to me, to be a part of this community and to be a part of, or to be a good daughter to my parents, I thought that's the thing to do. So I would not have sex. I had boyfriends back then, obviously. I would masturbate, but I wouldn't have sex. So the first time I had a boyfriend, we were together for a year. And after a year, I decided to have sex because, you know, I just thought that's the boy I might get married to. Because the relation, that was the first actual boyfriend, the first time I was in love. So I thought we're going to end up together anyway. So, and then I let myself go and we had sex. And, but it is pretty hard to suppress natural feeling or natural desire. In Germany, it was a contradiction or contradictive idea of the whole sexuality. So my friends had all sex at the age of 15, 18, you know, a normal age to have sex. And they would tell me all the stories. And I wouldn't even tell them. I was ashamed to be a virgin because I couldn't actually tell them how old I am. I'm that old and still haven't had the experience. So, you know, I kept it for myself. I realized I just have to find my own way, I guess. Like, people can tell me you're not allowed to do that, you're not, or you should do that, but you always have to find your own thing. And while I was pleasuring myself, I couldn't believe that this is a bad thing. I like, why would, if you believe in a God, which like I believe in the universe or you know, the bigger thing, of course, but if you believe in a God and the God created you as a woman, as a female, as a divine, you know, goddess, and would give this or would allow you to have this pleasure, why would that God also not allow you to have it? You know, like it wouldn't make sense for me. So then I just started to have sex and never stopped.
And onward. Yeah, and I think it's very weird, right? That in some cultures or in some beliefs that you're being shamed into being so late having sex, whereas in other cultures, it is holy. It is like, oh, if you have sex before, then it's a bad thing. And it's so weird to see all the different views and opinions about it. What do you think is right, actually? Is it the earlier the better or keep it till later?
There's no age, right? But of course, if you're just 10 or 12, I think that's too early. But if you feel you're a sexual person at the age of, even if you're 13, which was yeah. my case, I was always very sexual. I would always, you know, touch myself when I was very young. I think it's okay to explore it. That's a normal thing. You wouldn't feel that way. You wouldn't have the desire if it's not meant to be. So whenever you have the desire, I don't think there's an age too young or too old. I don't think you should just, you just have to decide it for yourself when you're ready. When you're sexually ready, when you feel like, oh, you know, you have the thoughts and you feel like a little bit here, pleasurably, but then I think that's the right time.
Yeah, definitely. Especially when it doesn't hurt anybody and it just actually improves your understanding of yourself. Why not? What do you think happens when sex is only done to reproduce and masturbation is forbidden and everything around sexual intimacy is unholy and immoral?
I always think myself as like in a parallel universe that virgin girl would have stayed virgin and you know, married to a guy and one guy and she never explored those sexuality, like difference about it. I think if that girl, like me as that girl, I wouldn't be the same person that I am right now, like being completely independent, right? Trying to, it might sound a little bit far, but I think that sexuality does allow you to be like a stronger person. Like once you get out of this restriction of you're not allowed, or you should, whatever. When you come out of it and you decide one step for yourself, that is my body, this is my life, and I'm going to do whatever I want, I think that will also allow you in your future to, you know, to jump in some decisions, as in like leave your country, leave your comfort zone, leave that boyfriend you're not happy with, you know, those kind of things. And I think if I would, in this other world, this parallel universe version girl, I think I would just be married to a guy and not be the person I am right now.
In your sexual exploration journey, did that have the biggest impact on you moving around and exploring yourself? Was that the sexual exploration made you do all of that?
In my case, yes, right? Because in my case, my parents were very strict. So when my parents told me I'm not allowed to have sex, that was the first step, or that was the first thing as in restriction in my life. But when I broke up with that one thing that I thought, okay, no, I will have sex because it's my body. By doing one step, I think I was strong enough to do a second step, which is telling my parents, hey, I have a boyfriend. And I was ready, or I was able to be strong enough and to be, you know, like I was motivated to do more things in my life. And in my case, yes, I wouldn't say it's for everybody. I wouldn't say that. But in my case, definitely. Yeah.
When it comes to your sexuality, you mentioned that you lost your virginity when you were 24. You started touching yourself at a very young age. Where did you learn about sex and sexuality and more about your body beyond just touching yourself?
I never learned anything.
Just explored.
No, my parents, obviously, they would never talk about, like, we would never talk about sex, right? And my friends, they would tell me some stuff, but it wasn't really open. Like, unfortunately, girls back then, they were not that open to talk about their sexuality. For them, it was a very, very intimate and very, very secret topic. So they would never really talk about it. To me, it just happened naturally. So suddenly I felt like maybe I was sitting somewhere or I don't know what it was. And my clitoris was just, you know, like vibrating or rubbing to something. And I'm like, ooh, what's this? But no one really told me what it is to have like this, like clitoris
sensation.
The sensation. It just happened naturally. And I think that's, unfortunately, back then it was a normal thing. I think nowadays girls are, thank God, way, way more educated. And that's a good thing. But yeah, back then it was just, you know, a little bit touching and then, oh, okay.
And learning and failing.
In the shower, you would just stay hours and hours in the shower, and your parents are like, what are you doing in the shower?
Me time.
Exactly.
So then also growing up, well, you just mentioned that you had quite strict parents and maybe also friends and family who had a different view on sexuality. How did you cope with that?
With my parents, I never talked about it, but I think my parents were sexually very active. I think I heard them a lot, like in the rooms. When you move to a new place, new work environment, or, you know, just a new city, and you choose the friends that are more suitable to your lifestyle, right? And I don't mean like in a relationship or whatever, just having the same mindset, a little bit more open-minded. So when I came to Japan, I was not ashamed to talk about who I am and how I feel. And if people were not okay with that, I would, you know, I would just leave it and we would not be close. I pick my friends very, very carefully. And I have great friends and a lot of friends, but we all have, you know, we're all very open with each other. So no one is really ashamed to talk about any topic. And it can be even anal sex where like shit happened.
Yeah.
That's great. That reminds me of like me meeting Simona and then the two of our other partners. Like the reason why we also get along so well is because like the four of us just love to talk about anything weird, disgusting that maybe some of our other friends don't even want to talk about.
Yes.
Okay, so neuroscience shows that when you orgasm, your brain releases oxytocin, which is the love hormone. We know that you have some crazy wild weekends that your friends love to hear about. How do you detach sex to feelings?
I just call it the love of my night or the love of my week or the love of my month, right? I think it's not like you can love someone for 1 hour, one night. Being in a committed relationship, there's way, way more than just having sex with each other. So that was never a problem. That I never had an issue with having sex with someone and then just saying goodbye and just moving on.
How?
I think
I'm very intrigued. Yeah.
No, I think you just have to know what do you want in life, right? And of course, how is your sexual partner actually? How is the guy that you're sleeping with? He might have the most amazing ding dong, but then, you know, he might not be the best person in his character, or he might not be a kind person, or he might not be a loving person. So I think to fall in love, to deeply, deeply fall in love, and I've been in love 3 times. I think you just have to think of who is this person actually? Are you really into him as a person, or are you just enjoying the moment with that person? So
it's very rational.
Yeah.
It's very rational. I don't like it. I like, if I look back at my younger self where I had some exciting weekends as well, I think from a personal point of view, it's harder to detach. Like you had an intimate moment together. So it was something in my brain goes like, maybe that's your future daddy of your kids. And maybe you guys are going to be married together. Like you should explore that. I find it very impressive that you can just detach it and say, no, this was just a good night and that's it.
But then again, right? So you have to, like, the partners that I'm sleeping at the moment with, but there are, so some of them are just emotionally not available, for example, right? Mm-hmm. Some of them are just very, very young. Others are just too far away from the city that I live. So to me, that's just not, I could never be in a committed relationship with a person that's not emotionally available. And someone who's too far away from my city or from where I live, it could work. Long distance could work, but it's just not my thing. So I have to look at who is this. And the funny thing is, if I really like a guy, I don't even sleep with him that quickly.
Do you have sex differently to the guys you like versus the guys you don't like?
When you're in love with someone, the sex is amazing. It's completely out of like this world, right? It's heavenly, beautiful. You look in your eyes and you fall in love. You even cry sometimes because it's so beautiful. And you have like the most beautiful sex, right? And that's a very emotional sex, which is body and soul is combined, which is the most beautiful thing. Like, no question about that. But if you sleep with someone who you just met the night or like a week ago or a month ago, you don't know that person that well, right? So you don't know about his vulnerability, his fears, his you know, strength, and all these things that you fall in love with a person. So with that person, it's obviously different. It's a little bit more emotionally fulfilling.
You mentioned you had 3 long-term relationships. In those long-term relationships, did you ever feel like your sex lives changed? Did it get less exciting for you? And how did you overcome that?
In all my relationships, I made sure that we would have a good night's sleep. Every night we had sex, at least at the beginning. Because, you know, you fall asleep so much easier. It's so nice. Like, when you have sex, even if it's just 5 minutes, who cares? 5 minutes sex, 10 minutes sex, and you fall asleep, the most beautiful sleep ever. So I always make sure to have my good night sex. When it gets boring, it's usually after, I would say, 2 years. What I do is, like, try new things. That could include, you know, toys and things that you would not do before. Like, some guys, for example, are just too shy to tell you as a girl what they want, right? And you just explore a little bit. Oh, what are they actually into? Are they into me touching them there and there and there? And so that's like more, the longer you are in a relationship, the more you just explore and you're just comfortable with each other. And then you do that. But of course, like after 5 years, a relationship, and I've been in a relationship for 8 years as well, I think there are some good ways to keep it a little bit alive, like going out together, a night out, getting a little bit drunk, tipsy, and then having this thing again, like, oh, why? What was the reason I fell in love with you? And then you just go home and then rip your clothes off and then have your fun.
What about swinging? I was listening to another podcast about Silicon Valley, you know, all the techies, all the tech entrepreneurs. Apparently, it's a big thing. They all swing, apparently. That's how they keep their relationships healthy, swinging. Do you think that is something that could keep your relationship healthy?
I think definitely when you trust each other, when you're when you have a long relationship, when you trust each other and you don't feel jealousy, I think that could be a good way. I couldn't do it. I don't like sharing.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, maybe one day I would wake up and try it. But who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe if you're like 60 years old and you're in your marriage, maybe that brings... Yeah. I couldn't do it right now either. I'm too jealous, I think.
Yeah,
do you believe in monogamy?
Yeah, 100%. When you're madly in love with someone, and again, maybe it's just because I never had another experience, so I'm open about it, to explore it, but I never had the moment that when I'm in love with someone, really, really deeply in love with someone, I try to think of, how would it be to have a threesome? Because those guys, they have their fantasies. So why not? Like, try it. But then every time we would go out together and it would be me to pick a girl, first of all, I was a little bit hesitant, but then, you know, you try a little bit. And the boys would come to me like, are you sure? I don't think that's your personality. I think you would kill her afterwards. I think I do believe in monogamy. I think it's a beautiful thing. I would lie if I would say, oh, I'm super open-minded and I'm okay with everything in a relationship. I think I still have my barriers. I wouldn't feel comfortable, and I don't want to do anything that I'm not comfortable with. Just recently, actually last weekend, there's this guy I would sleep sometimes with, and he's a really great guy, and I was with a girl, and I just met that girl that night. So the three of us were just talking, and then somehow in my drunk head I thought it would be a great idea to go to his place together, all three of us. So we went to his place. You know, I got naked and I was the only one being naked, and he was fully clothed. She had her clothes on. She was all over me. He was just making sure we're okay. And then she went to the toilet, and she was a smart girl, right? She knew, like, okay, I need to give them a little bit of time. So she went to the toilet, and meanwhile, the boy is asking me telling me, if you're not comfortable with anything right now, just give me a sign. So she came back, and me naked, lying there, not knowing what to do. She was again kissing me, and he was just sitting there, and then he looked at me, and I was like, oh. And he was the one stopping it. He's like, okay, girls, stop this. I'm comfortable with this. Yeah.
Wow.
What a attentive guy. So what happened afterwards? Did he tell the girl to go away? And then what happened?
Yeah. The girl was, as I said, she's very kind and very smart. So she said, okay, I'm leaving now. I should go home. And he was bringing her down, get her a taxi. He got back and we had a great twosome.
Okay. Right. Yeah, I feel like society tend to also portray men as always like just dirty pigs. They always have these fantasies and they want the women to kind of play in his fantasy. But there are also lots of great men, males out there that are very attentive to our feelings.
Yes, of course. Seems, and they also want your best, right? They also want to have the most, like, the best sex they could have. And if a girl is not comfortable with the situation, why would they? I mean, maybe there are some guys, I would say there are a lot of guys, you know, using the situation, but there's some.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that moves on to that leads us to the next question. Like, society always also portray females as the ones that are unable to attach sex and feelings. Do you think this happens to males? And do you have any personal experiences?
In my case, because I'm coming a lot, and for some guys, they never have the experience of a girl having so many orgasms, right? And for them, it's a reward. So they mix it up. They don't know, am I in love with that girl, or am I just rewarding myself by being with that girl, right? I had some situations where guys would fall in love after having sex with me. To me, that's the wrong idea of love. So I would always make sure, like, look, are you sure? Do you even know me? But yeah, oh, definitely guys can fall in love with you if they have sex. It's not just a girl's thing. No, guys are the same.
Sometimes. What is the thing that you do to make them fall in love with you?
Sexually?
Yeah. You just mentioned that, like, after you had a good night, you come and that made them fall in love. Is it the process of you coming and that rewards them and that makes them fall in love with you?
I think most of the guys that they would have a one-night stand, let's say a one-night stand, right? Or like just a quick stop. For them, it's really hard to make a girl come. Most of the girls are just not maybe comfortable in this situation. So most of them cannot even come once, or maybe if they come once, that's it, or twice. But for me, because I can divide it, detach that, and I just let myself go when I have sex. I really trust, like, I really believe in the love of the night theory. So completely, like, open about everything, and I come a lot. So for them to see a girl coming within, I would say, 30 seconds, more and more every time. So for them, that's rewarding, right? But that's the wrong idea of love. That's not love. It's just like the ego. It's the ego. And some guys, they love themselves so much that they would think that this is the girl of my dreams, right? For some guys, that's all they want. So for those guys, they would fall in love. But yeah, not all of them, obviously.
And he's also probably falling in love for the wrong reasons, because he was in love with the idea of himself being able to make you come so many times.
Exactly. So I know that. I am very much aware. I had to be really, really careful about that in the past, because, you know, it's also another thing. Like, some guys out there is just like, oh, I want to have a girl from that country, from this country. Like,
yes,
you know,
he wants to take it off.
Exactly. So, oh, I have this Afghani girl growing up in Germany, you know, like, this international girl, or I can make this girl come all the time. Like, for them, for those wrong reasons, they can fall in love with you. But I'm very much aware of that. So I really, really make sure that if I really like a guy and I want to be with him and I want to be in a committed relationship with that guy, I would not just have sex all the time. So I would make sure that we connect in a deeper level, which is, you know, knowing each other better.
You just mentioned that you can come within 30 seconds. I'm like, oh, mind blown. But we also did this interview with you a couple of months ago where you, like, explained the art of squirting to us. And, like, so many girls have never squirted before. And for you, it's such an easy thing. Like, how did you discover it? What are your craziest stories?
If you have an orgasm, you don't have to squirt. That's not a given thing. You know, like, you can 100% come, you can 100% have an orgasm without squirting. Squirting is just a side effect of it, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, the first time it happened, I actually thought it's you know, I peed myself. So I was a little bit shocked. Now it's more about a control thing. So I do have to control it sometimes when I'm, let's say, I don't know the guy that well, and I don't know how he would react on it. And especially when I'm on top, that is the position where it happens the most in my case. So every time I'm just about to come or to score it, I would push myself away, let it go for a few seconds. Otherwise, you know, it would happen all the time. But with guys that I'm comfortable with, I'm totally fine. And, like, it happens that within 20 to 30 seconds sometimes, and it can be 5 minutes as well. It depends. It really depends on the day, on my hormones, on my body. How far am I with my PMS cycle? It really depends on that. In my mood, of course. The extreme thing is I would come within 10 to 30 seconds, and that would happen all the time. And if the sex is, let's say, 30 minutes, I would have multiple orgasms after a certain while. And then that is getting a little bit crazy and a little bit dangerous as well, because you can just pass out, you know, like, things could happen. You cannot breathe anymore. You're just high. You're like, oh my God, who am I? What am I doing? It's really, really weird. So I had to call the doctor twice in Germany, because it got a little bit too far.
What? Do you think it is something that you're born with, or did you train it?
I was talking about this with my friends as well, but I think we can all have orgasms.
Yeah.
And we can.
But 5 times in a session?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I was talking to my friends, and they actually tried it, right? So, first of all, you have to make sure that you're not thinking about anything else. So, regard it as a meditation. When you meditate, you have to get away of your thoughts, right? You have to be fully focused on this one task you have. And I think with sex, it's the same thing. When you have sex, you should feel comfortable in your body. Don't think of, oh, maybe this is not right, maybe that is not right. Whatever it is, just let it go, right? Just let yourself go. Be in this moment of meditation, but sexual meditation, right? And once you let go all your thoughts, your body would move in a way that you would not even think that would be possible, because you're not afraid of anything, right? You're not ashamed of anything. So you just move your body in a way that you can please yourself with his body, by moving your body in a way or in a direction that you feel pleasure. And then the other thing is, if you want to try it yourself at home, you can just take your finger or a vibrator or whatever and penetrate or get it in this beautiful vagina, and then maybe touch your belly and press your belly a little bit, and then try to figure out, like, if this is the finger and this is your belly. And you just press it a little bit, and then try to figure out where the sensitive points are. And they are, like, to me, I explore, there's one down there, and one deeper. So you have to explore yourself. And she's looking, wow!
Listen, I also want to, I'm going to show you a video that we also recorded, and it's a man explaining how to make her squirt. I want you to take a look at it, and then tell me if it's true or not.
I met a Japanese guy. So Japanese guys are like, there's this, oh, it's ridiculous. This guy is pretending that he is the squirter. I know him as a friend. He always goes like this, walks like this, like, I'm the squirt man. So apparently he wrote a book about how to make girls squirt. And he's not wrong. The way he describes it and the way he's doing it, I think you can definitely make a girl squirt. But, you know, just squirting is not the whole thing. You also have to feel the pleasure. You also have to feel the joy of it. It should be a little bit of, like, it should be an orgasm, not just, like, you know, just rubbing then and some chemical whatever happens and you're just, like, squirting out the water. That's of course you can do it. And some guys,
it's also not an orgasm, right? When you squirt, is it automatically an orgasm?
When I have an orgasm, like, not all of my orgasms are squirt related, but usually I with orgasm and then I would squirt. That's just, like, you know, it happens naturally. But there are some, like, this finger technique from some guys, right? I think it's very rough. I don't know. I'm not a, you know, you can see it in the porns. They go in and they're blah, and you can hurt.
Yeah.
It's horrible. That's not how it should be. So yes, you can make a girl squirt, but it really is that joyful? Is that really?
Do you really just going feel? Back to this one again. So you, when you orgasm, you do squirt. When you squirt, is that always an orgasm? I just want to clarify this for myself.
Yes.
So it all. Yeah. So whenever you squirt, you are ensured that that is an orgasm. Because sometimes I squirt it, and I wasn't sure if it was an orgasm. It felt really good, but an orgasm can also feel differently.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I see it as two different things.
You're right.
Yeah.
There are a lot of orgasm or feelings, right? You can have a very, very deep orgasm, and, you know, it you can feel it in your whole body, or you can have an orgasm which is just a part of your body. So to me, that finger technique, or that's, like, you can squirt and you can have the orgasm, but that's not what I really like. So I enjoy it when I have sex, and it is, like, you know, all kind of things are related, your whole body and, you know, touching and kissing and moving and a beautiful movement inside of you. And then when it happens, that is a fulfilling orgasm of just the squirting, which is also an orgasm, but to me it's not that pleasurable. So it's just like, oh, okay, it happened, but it's not, I don't like it that much.
Got it. So it's what you're talking about is, like, you enjoy the process of, like, someone making you feel good. And if you do orgasm and you squirt, great. But it's not like, oh, I'm just gonna like make her come right now. Like not so result driven and just like wanting that squirt or water splashing over you as a result. So that I also have some question, like, do men go crazy over you because you can squirt?
Yes. So some of them are, you know, some of them, they love it. And others, they're kind of like, oops, what happened here? Usually my boyfriends or the guys that I'm with, like in my relationships, they love it, right? To be honest, for a long, long time, I had no idea how to deal with that situation. I would try to suppress it. As I said, like sometimes I would just try not to come, not to squirt on the person or like in general in my bed. It's always wet, right? I would try to not come that much. The boyfriend I was with, they were very, very open-minded about it. They would just say like, okay, that's a part of you. And this is what your body needs and what your body does. Just let it go and explore it. My ex-boyfriend, he was not into it, right? He was not the guy that would be like, oh, I love to make a girl squirt. The more we had sex, the more he would tell me, look, don't push yourself away. Just let it happen. It's natural, obviously, for you. And if that is what you need, it's fine.
Why would you even say sorry? Yeah, it's like men don't say sorry when they ejaculate either. And they don't hold it in because we think it's dirty. No, it's natural. Yeah, definitely.
For some people, it's a myth, right? For some people, they don't even believe in that. So and I don't think we're educated about that topic. So some guys, they just don't know what it is. But once they explore it and you talk with them and they do their little research, they would understand. But because you're not sure how the people are reacting on it, you feel a little bit like, oh, sorry, oops, sorry, you know, that kind of.
But oh, again, like, proud of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But I think it's also because, you know, coming from Afghanistan, growing up in Germany, now being in Japan, it's always like, oops, sorry, you know, this Asian culture. Oops.
Yeah.
You know
that. We say it too often. Yeah. We should own it more. I do really like the part where you say you kind of need to be yourself in bed. You don't need to limit yourself or think what the other person wants or likes, or maybe a lot of our girls are insecure about their bodies, especially when you just start your sexual journey and with somebody else, you're like, oh, do I look good enough? Or is it going to see that fat roll? Or, oh, I didn't shave well enough. But I think the guy is most excited, or the guy or the girl, whoever, the other party likes it the best when you are really enjoying, when you are really experiencing pleasure and you're letting yourself go and you're not limiting yourself. Because even though you're not saying it and you're thinking it, that other person, he or she can feel that.
100%. Right? What's the most sex? The sexiest thing is confidence, right? I think having, like, how many times have you seen a person and the person is not your type, not like, you know, but so confident. He is or she is so confident. You'd be like, oh my God, so sexy, right? And I think it's the same in bed. Like if a girl feels a little bit uncomfortable about her body, unfortunately, we women do that, right? Based on social media or our background. I think you can just let it go. Just that doesn't matter. Be confident. And I think once you're confident, the other person feels the same way. Like you have the same vibration. If you have this confidence vibration, the person might smell it, might feel it, right? Get turned on by that. So I think that's the key. Just be confident. Just be yourself. Let your body do. It's not your head. Your brain is working the whole day. And when it comes to sex, I think you should just let your brain stop. Like use your body. Your body is the key in that moment.
Be in the moment. Yeah.
Hey, I do have another question when it comes to squirting, just in case we have any squirters who are listening. How do you lay your bed? Do you just like change out your bed sheets at each time, or do you lay something down? Do you have like towels, or like what do you have? What do you recommend for girls to prepare?
Well, I don't prepare. It's really bad. I really don't prepare. It's not like pee, right? Yellow. It's more whitish, so it's not steaming that much. But you can just use a towel, I think.
I saw something on TikTok coming by. It was a girl. She was also very open about talking about squirting. And she got it from Amazon, I think. It is normally used for your pets. It's a very soft blanket on the upside. And the downside is where they can pee on it and it doesn't leak through your bed. So.
Oh,
that's nice. Very nice. Yeah, you can check it out. Yeah.
Send me the link.
All right. We're coming to the end of our podcast. We always ask our guests, what is the one piece of advice you want all girls and women out there to know?
I love the saying, what you expect is what you attract. So think of yourself that you deserve the best. the very, very best, because you're divine. That is sexually, relationship, friendship, work. Just be yourself. Don't hide in this world, because we're all beautiful. We all have our little problems, issues, weakness. But at the end of the day, your body is your home and your soul is your home. So you don't have to please other people. Just be yourself. Try to please yourself. That is the most important. And if you're happy, when you're happy with yourself, with your soul and your body, you can make other people happy as well. I think that's sounds like a very cheesy advice.
No, very beautiful. So what you expect is what you attract.
Do you also have a favorite self-love quote?
Masturbate every day.
Yeah.
Done.
It's good for you. It's really good for you.
What about sometimes I'm just too like lethargic or too lazy? I'm like, nah, I don't really feel like it. But I know that's like just like meditation. It's good for you. So do you have a tip for those girls that don't really feel like it, but they know it's good for them, or they should explore more?
If you go to gym every second day, it's also good for you, but you're just too lazy to do that, right? You have other things to do. You're just not feeling it. And I think if you're not, that's totally fine. You can just let yourself go a little bit, but don't do it too long. I think if you haven't masturbated for, let's say, 3 months, right? If you're still in a relationship, you should still try to do it again, just to have this little me time. And you can watch a porn, and don't be shy with porns. There are so many porns out there, and some of them are really, really weird. But, you know, it's your pleasure. No one would ever see what kind of porn you're watching. Don't feel guilty about the weird things, because it's just fantasy. I don't want to be like, oh, porn is the best thing. But I think porn can be very inspiring. If you lost your masturbation mojo, get back to some weird porn. Don't tell anyone. No one has to know about it. There are so many weird
things. I'll tell everyone.
You have no idea. You have no idea what kind of things you are into. I'm watching this porn. I'm like, oh, what's this? Oh, that sounds weird. But let's look at it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Okay.
Do you watch Pornhub, or do you have any other websites that you check out?
There's a German porn site called like X Free Porn, XN, X something.
What is the most shocking porn category that you realize that you're like, oh, wow, I'm actually into this?
Oh my God, that's so bad.
Hey, if you want to cut, you want us to cut it out, we'll cut it out. You also don't need to answer this. Whatever you feel comfortable with.
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's fine. I think people should know that. And I think people shouldn't judge themselves for that. And I was talking about that with my friend as well. I think to me, the weirdest thing is like group sex, and they will be like two dicks in the ass and one dick in the vagina and another dick in her mouth, you know, this and you look at them like, how is it possible? How would you have two of them in her anal? Like sometimes not even one is fitting in mine, you know. So how is it even, how are they training that? And how is that so it's like all over, you know, everywhere, like in her hands, everywhere, like these penises are everywhere. I think that is a really weird one. And sometimes when she's a little bit like, oh my God, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? I like that. It's weird.
What about, because you're in Japan, what about hentai? Do you like
cartoons? I do watch cartoon. Them as well.
Yeah?
I do watch them.
And it works? Yeah. Because,
yeah, it works. Well, you know, some of them are very innocent, yeah, right? Like you see some schoolgirls and, you know, old men. I'm not really that much into that, just in this cartoon. What I like is fantasy. And I'm a huge science fiction fan, so I would love to see, you know, some monsters and aliens banging the girl, and the girl is like, oh, what is this? I've never explored like that kind of, what shape of a penis, you know, those kind of things. It's fantasy. So it's very important not to judge yourself for that. It's not what you would do. It's okay to have that fantasy. And if that turns you on,
definitely.
And if that is making you feel a little bit wet down there, why not? There's nothing wrong about
definitely.
That.
Okay? Yeah, nobody's getting hurt, and it's only good for yourself. Like, why not? Yeah. I think that's also a nice part of TV show, sex education. Do you guys watch it?
Yeah.
There's this one girl, right? She's really into sci-fi and also fantasy. How they normalize that as well. Like, yeah, that's fine. Like, if you're into it, you're into it. And they make it very innocent in a way for you to watch it and then just to be okay with it. Love that. How is actually the sex offering in Japan? Must be like big, right?
Yes, very big, but I feel it's sometimes more for the men. The things that they would offer, I think it's all based on porn, because Japanese porn is a lot about sex toys.
Oh, really? Yeah. Because I always thought that in Japan, they're very reserved, but when it comes to sex, they have like all these dedicated stores. And also when they check it out online, I feel they're very advanced, but then somehow still not that much, too much focus on men then.
Just my opinion, right? I think for a Japanese woman, to pleasure the man is the most
important. Yeah. Do you think that's changing now, though, little bit, that women also start to care more for themselves and their own pleasure?
Maybe the young girls, yes, but sex in Japan is a fantasy thing, right? The problem about Japanese couples is they would get together in a very, very young age, and let's say 25, 20 something, and then they get married, and that's the goal, to get married and to have kids. And once they have kids, sex is not the priority in their life, right? What's more important is family life and social acceptance, harmony, but sex is not so important. So men usually go and cheat on their wives.
This doesn't only apply to Japan. You see this in China, you see in Thailand, Singapore. Such a pity.
When it comes to self-love, right? I also heard that in Japan, because of self-love, they don't want to be hurt in a relationship. They don't want to feel like they might be abandoned, or like fear of getting hurt by the other person. So now people actually have chosen to not be in a relationship and a relationship with themselves. They stay single, they may date a robot or something.
Those Japanese friends that I have, they're a little bit more open-minded because they used to travel, like, or they used to live somewhere else. So they're not purely Japanese. I'm not sure if it's because they don't want to get hurt. I think it's more because men, they don't know how to approach a girl, right? And girls, they don't know how to approach. It's very, like, they're very shy with each other.
They're saying that Japan is just ahead of us, that we're all going into how Japan is behaving and living in general. So in a couple of years, 10, 20, 30 years, everybody's being isolated in their rooms behind their computers, and then they have their cyber girlfriends and maybe an inflatable doll next to them, and that's their life.
I think that's from another perspective of isolation, or maybe some people want that, but some other people are just too free spirit. If you're a free spirit, you would never end up like that. And if we do, oh my god, great, more toys.
This concludes, I think, our podcast. If people want to know more about you or your vast knowledge on squirting, how can they find you? Or sexuality, not only squirting.
You guys have my WhatsApp number, so you can just pass it to them.
Okay, so for anybody who's listening, they can reach out to us and we'll just funnel them all to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
If you like this episode, please give us a review on the platform that you're listening on. We would love to hear from you. And also, if you have any suggestions about what we should talk about or who we should interview, please let us know. Thank you so much.